Blog Talk Radio.
So immeasurable, and your grace
ghost of a king on the road when I first fell. Fire burning to my knees, I fell. Met a ghost of a king on the road. Words of fire, he said, you are a lonely soul with a heart of stone that rakes against your thirsty bones. Such a lonely soul. He said, I can show you what can save you, but we need to go where no not far. Like fabric woven into arms, the dawn has shot out through the night, and day is coming soon. The kingdom of the morning star can pierce the cold and stony heart. Its grace went through me like a sword. It came out like the song. Now I'm just waiting for the day in the shadows of the dawn. But I won't wait, rest in my boat.
How you doing, Kenny?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing better now. My brother from another mother, said he was also calling in, Mr. DC Two or DC Sides.
DC Two is calling in. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, and so is somebody from 210 and 952.
Let's bring old DC Two on there. I haven't talked to my brother, and I couldn't tell you how long.
Okay, well, let's bring on Don there.
Hey, John.
We're
talking
from the east side, brother. Shabbat
shalom. Brother.
Shalom.
Kenny, you don't sound very happy to talk to me, brother. What's wrong?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay.
Ken, what's wrong?
Ken,
what's wrong, buddy?
I just got done through eating.
Oh. Got a little
what's
gas?
What's wrong, buddy?
I'm full. I had a steak, baked potato, corn, okra.
Oh.
Yeah. And a couple dinner rolls.
Sounds like you're eating good, buddy.
Yeah, it was very good, actually. Johnny S. is great. Johnny S. is one of the greatest cooks I've seen in a long time.
Hey, how were the cookies from last night? I guess it was yesterday.
Oh, they were great. Peanut butter and M&M.
Chocolate chip.
Peanut butter and M&M.
Ooh, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, they were good.
Oh.
You should invite Spence over for dinner.
Oh, I would love that, actually.
You should invite Spence over for dinner, brother. Y'all could eat naked.
No, it's okay. We don't need to eat naked.
Well,
we can eat just our underwear. Not naked, though.
Okay. All right. Well... Let's keep it godly.
You know, like, that's right. We can't be naked, so we got to keep it godly. So at least it's in our underwear. I'm okay with that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, Ken.
All right.
I saw a picture of you, which is, I don't believe was, you know, one of those crazy imposed pictures. But do you still have those muscles?
Still what?
Do you still have those muscular muscles in your arms?
No,
you look like a big, attractive guy.
No, I don't have the muscles anymore. Okay.
What happened?
Kind of it went down with the ages. Okay.
Oh.
You know,
I don't know, kid. I showed Spencer a picture, a recent picture of you, and it was very impressive.
Amen.
I was very impressed. It can't be recent, because I haven't posted a recent picture lately.
Yeah, but
it was from like 6 months ago or something. I don't know, kind of recent.
Oh, 6 months ago? Well, that's not too bad. That's not too far away.
It was one of those,
you know,
Kenny,
I mean,
it was
too...
one of those photos where you were sitting in front of the computer, brother.
Oh, okay.
Michelle, the one you sent to Higgins.
Yes. Also, I had no idea you had your nipples pierced. That's kind of hot, man.
I did that a long time ago. Okay,
yeah.
Back in the day when I was a tattoo artist and body piercer.
Did you do it yourself, or?
Yeah.
Cool. If I were to get mine, would you, like, if I met up with you, would you pierce my nipples?
If you really wanted to.
Like, could you do that,
pierced?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I've got the equipment to do it.
Well, I've seen videos of people with pierced nipples, but it never really grabbed my attention until I saw you and the picture of you, and I'm like, wow, this looks really good on a guy. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Well, You can go with which is a small bar, okay, or you can go with a ring, or I usually tell people to start out with a ring, and then move to the bar.
So how do you think I would look with rings in my nipples? Will that be attractive?
Oh.
Because I would you think that rings in my nipples would be attractive? Because I'm going to take your word for it.
I don't know.
Instead of like a bar or anything.
You see your body type.
I'm 6'3". I'm trying to lose some weight, but I'm 6'3", 200. Yeah, right around 200 pounds now. I've been losing a little weight. I was like 220, but I'm down to right around like 207, I believe.
Well, Kenny, do you do tattoos and piercings, Kenny?
I used to. I don't do them anymore.
What if Spencer wanted a piercing south of the border, if you know what I'm saying?
That's one of those Prince Alberts.
Yeah.
Oh,
is that what they call it?
Well, I'd be
willing to discuss that, but I'm sure it would hurt. But I wouldn't get it anywhere else unless Ken gave it to me.
Okay.
I know
it's
painful.
Let's talk godly here.
Amen.
Okay, let's talk godly here. Okay.
I thought I was using godly terminology, Kenny. Was that not godly? I said south of the border, brother.
Let's move away from tattoos and piercing.
Let's go north of the border, Kenny.
I was just saying, I had never seen the picture before. You know, I had no idea that you had nipple rings or whatever, your nipples pierced. And I'm like, wow, Ken actually is a very, very attractive man.
Oh, wow.
I just recently came across this picture.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Very complimentary. It's very complimentary, Spencer, to say that.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. But, you know, Ken is my best buddy, you know, and I wouldn't take his friendship for granted, you know. But one thing,
amen.
And I had no idea how handsome of a man that Ken is.
Gay,
because I've seen a lot of crazy pictures of Kenneth, but most recent ones that I just saw, I'm mind blown.
Oh.
Okay, well,
Kenneth,
thank
you're
you very
a very
much.
Handsome man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Spencer. Okay.
Very welcome.
Well, you're catching me off guard here. I'm not expected
you're not blushing, are you? Because I am.
No.
Be honest with you. He's laughing. And I'm being serious.
I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing.
Kenny, is anybody else on the queue, Kenny?
Yeah, we got a person from 952. Let's bring them on and see what they have to say. Okay. 952, you're on the air.
Well, how you doing, Pastor Ken?
All right, how you doing?
Oh, it's Frank the janitor.
I'm sorry you caught me in a bad moment. I was listening to the talk, and I've had a little bit of it out. I don't know. It just happened. I was imagining all the piercings on the nipples and the penis and on you, Kenny, and something just came out of my penis and it's okay, though. Nothing bad. It's nature. It's natural.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it is natural.
We gotta keep this godly.
Well, it is godly. I mean, are you for or against abortion?
I'm against abortion.
Well, see, that's godly, and you know how babies are made. It's when something comes out of the penis into the vagina. And that's what
I know how babies are made.
Inside the vagina.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I know
And I think it's possible that the woman to get pregnant even through the butthole sometimes, if you're Indian. If you're an Indian.
That's enough, Frank.
Frank, wait a minute. Only if it's a brick and mortar butthole, though, right, Frank?
I cut him off. I'm sorry. I can't.
That's all right, brother.
I can't do that. Let's bring on Johnny Longfeather, okay?
Teddy Gunderson.
Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
Ken Fishman, this show has gone completely to evil. The gay talk, so disgusting. God hates all gays. It's
Johnny, you're a homosexual.
Primarily in the New Testament. Specifically, it says God hates all gays. And here you are talking about every kind of gay persuasion, every perversion, penis in mouth, penis in hand, penis in ear hole, penis
Johnny,
in the
that's
rectum.
Only, that's, wait a minute, wait
it's
a minute.
All,
that's only,
it's so
that's
disgusting.
Only if you,
this is not.
That's only if you spill your seed on the ground. Johnny. Is that a sin? Johnny is a
why
homosexual.
Is
why, is he, why is he hating on homosexuals?
I'm not gay.
Good question. You are 100% fruit bowl. I've seen some of those tweets, man. Some of those texts, man. That's crazy. Very, very graphic. Talking
those
about load management. Load
well,
management.
There's nothing wrong with being a homosexual. That still does
which
not.
Which I am not.
If you're homosexual, it doesn't make you not a Christian.
Oh, wait. Ted Gunderson, his alter ego is gay. That's what it is.
I have nothing to do with the gays. I am not Joseph Gibson. I'm not Kent Fishman. I'm not Kenneth Hopper. I'm not.
Who the hell is Kenneth
Ferrar.
Hopper?
I don't
know.
You missed
Kenneth
Fishman. Don't
Kenneth
talk Ferrar. About Tony Ferrar like that. Don't talk about Burt Stable
Kenneth
like that.
Kenneth Ferrar. I am not Kenneth Ferrar. I'm not Kenneth Hopper. I'm not Kent Fishman. I'm not gay.
Well, do you
Johnny?
Believe, though, Johnny,
are you drunk off the fire water, Johnny? Tell me the truth, brother.
No, I'm having raspberry, pure leaf, brewed tea, raspberry flavored. 180
Johnny?
Calories per bottle.
Johnny,
I'm
you were hammered earlier,
right
brother.
Now.
You were hammered earlier. I know that, brother.
That's not true. I'm looking at
fire
the bottle
water?
Right now. 18.5 fluid ounces per bottle. 180 calories,
Johnny,
so it's sweetened.
Johnny, why is it a sin for two men to be happy together in a homosexual relationship? I don't
because
believe that should be a sin.
Penis, the penis is should not be anywhere near the butthole. Period.
Well, how
you should say
penis
being
around the other
butthole.
Okay.
It should not be near the hand, the
just,
ear hole.
Oh, wait, oh, what? Oh, you saying masturbation's wrong, Johnny? What's wrong with
wait
you, brother?
Well,
wait a minute. Kent
Fishman told me that it's wrong because he said something about the belly of a whore.
That's
and
right.
I forgot the
better,
rest.
It's better to spill the seed in the belly of a whore, okay, than to spill it on the ground.
Okay, well, the whore is a female, so that is different.
Okay,
that
wait a minute.
That is more acceptable.
Let me ask you a godly question here. So if I'm going, so you're saying that it's more godly to go balls deep in a whore than it is to beat off and ejaculate everywhere. You're saying that, right? So I should order me a whore? Is what you're saying?
That's what the Bible says. Okay, the Bible.
Oh, but are you aligned with the Bible, Kenny, or are you stepping away from that part of it?
No, I'm aligned with the Bible, and I may be a gay pastor doesn't make me any less. Of
don't
a
make you a bottom. Don't make you a bottom, does it, Kenny?
No.
Amen.
So let
That's
me.
Ungodly.
Okay. So does the Bible say anything about whether your seed hits the floor, whether it's in a whore, or does the Bible say anything about I'm saying sex before marriage is wrong.
Right, fornication.
Oh.
See, whether you're
What about sex with a man while you're married to a woman?
Oh God.
Say what?
Well, I'm just asking because sex with a man. Is it godly to have sexual relations with a man when you're still married to a woman? I'm only asking. No, it's not. Kenny?
Nope.
Well,
Kenny.
Listen.
But wait, Kenny, you're still married, right? So it's ungodly what you're doing. You're cohabitating with both stables.
But isn't that what they call adultery? But the Bible also says you can't, the first one to sow the first stone, you're judging. You can't judge. You can't play God and judge people because there's only one person who can judge us in the afterlife.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
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 Satan.
Amen.
All the gamers.
Satan judges.
Yep.
Satan.
All righty. Well, this has been an interesting conversation here. Okay.
Yes, it's very godly, this conversation. Getting into the Bible.
Today's show. So I'm going to put you all on mute for now.
Kenny. Come on, Kenny.
Come on, Kenny.
It's been a good conversation.
Willie from the Moors.
What I was going to ask everybody here on the panel. Is everybody still there?
Johnny started going echoing crazy. Okay, so I had to put people on mute. Okay.
Well, I was actually really interested in the conversation that was going on at the time because this I feel like if they whether it's DC2 or Johnny, if they say something that they believe that the Bible does say, you know, me and you know the Bible pretty well. So we could say, you know, no, this is what the Bible says. You know what I mean?
You're
it doesn't
right.
have to be, you know, a big thing. So I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, it's your show, so you can bring them on or you can bring them back if you want to. We can talk about these things because it actually, to me, from, you know, when I first started calling the show, it helped me get different opinions from different callers. You know, so you may have people listening on the link and everything like that. So maybe someone is feeling the same way that maybe Johnny or DC2 is feeling. And then, you know, we can they can address that and say how they feel. And then we can say, no, this is what the Bible says. And it'll help that person. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay, well, I gotta get on with the message here. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, sit back and listen and enjoy. Okay. All right. Tonight's message. Okay, is a devotional called Healing Past Wounds and Forgiving Present Scars. See, offering forgiveness to others is one of the most difficult and important aspects of the Christian life. The Bible clearly commands us to forgive others. God wants us to fashion us in His likeness so that we might model the love we've been shown to a world with no concept of mercy. He longs for us to offer grace and forgiveness to undeserving as we have been offered grace and forgiveness when we are undeserving. So may you be filled with courage and boldness to offer forgiveness to those in desperate need of grace, and may God's love shine through as you enter into your calling as a minister of reconciliation. So all of us have experienced trial and pain. All of us are living life wounded and scared. We learn to deal with our wounds and press forward, but whether we acknowledge it or not, wounds and scars change us. They are no perfect parents, okay? There are no perfect friends. There are no perfect siblings or spouses. We live in an imperfect world and imperfect humans. We lash out and hurt others because we are broken and in need of healing. One of the most critical spiritual exercises we can undergo is allowing God to heal our past wounds and guide us to a lifestyle of forgiving present scars. Without healing and forgiveness, other people's mistakes will affect our future. Without the inner working of the Holy Spirit, we will live in continual suffering from the sins of others. So our God is a God of healing. Psalms 147, verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, He himself bore our sins in the body of the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. But his wounds you have been healed. Okay? Your Heavenly Father wants to speak to the wounded places in your life and heal them with his love. So what past experience, trial, hurtful word, or person is still harmfully affecting your life today? Where do you need the Holy Spirit to come and speak healing over you? Where do you need to try to cry out to God in anger or frustration over a wound? Opening the wound in place of our hearts is an emotional and difficult process. But until we allow God into the harmful events of our past, we will never experience true freedom and restoration from them. So until we allow ourselves space to deal with that, okay, with what for some have been harmful and defining moments, we will never experience the entirety of the abundant life available to us. And as the Lord begins to heal our wounds, we must allow him to guide us to a lifestyle of forgiveness in our present scars. We must forgive those people who hurt us so the scars in our lives become symbols of God's redeeming love, rather than reminders of painful events. And James chapter 2, verse 13 says, Mercy triumphs over judgment. So show mercy to those who are undeserving of it, just as your Heavenly Father has shown you mercy. Love your enemies as Jesus did, so that you can experience triumph instead of pain, freedom instead of enslavement to negativity, and joy instead of anger. May your Heavenly Father be allowed to love you, hold you, and care for the places in your heart that need his healing touch the most. So first, meditate on God's desire to heal your wounds. Allow Scripture to fill you with the courage to open your heart to the Spirit and let him provide healing today. Isaiah 53:5, But he who was wounded for our transgressions was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. In Matthew 11:28, Come to me, all who labor or are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So secondly, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants to heal today. What wound is affecting your life? Where do you need God to speak his truth and love over you? So open your heart to the Lord and ask him to speak truth and love to your wounds. Ask the Holy Spirit to heal your wounds in whatever way he desires, and trust and follow his leadership. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, The Lord your God is in the midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. So Psalms 103, verses 2-4, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. So receiving healing for wounds and the courage to forgive present scars is a constant process. There will always be more for the Lord to heal. There will always be new wounds for the Lord to want to speak to. So if you allow the Lord to faithfully love and heal your wounds, you will experience abundant life, greater depths than you thought possible. May you be filled with newfound courage and freedom today in response to the overwhelming love and power of your Heavenly Father. I highly suggest that you read Psalms chapter 147, and it'll bring this devotional more into light for you. Amen. Well, let's go with the most important question, and that is, do you know the Lord, your God, as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, okay, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a few moments. But let me ask you, are you tired of walking around aimlessly in life, not knowing what you're going to do, okay? Which way is up or which way is down? Are you longing for something better? Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from an addiction such as alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality. Gambling, overeating, internet, gaming. Whatever it may be, see, the Lord can take it away. But in order for him to do so, folks, guess what he's got to do? He's got to know you. So if he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So, let me ask you, are you ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart tonight? If so, please say this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and then I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God, who died on the cross for my sins at Calvary and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. It's time to bring on Tony, for a Bible reading, it's still working in Numbers, it's called A Nation Fails to Walk by Faith, and here's Tony with the Bible reading.
I'm here, I'm going to do this Bible reading, only because, you know, I think it's what I should do is share the word after the silliness that's gone on the show this evening. I don't even know where a Bible reading fits in right now, but I guess from discussing the pastor's nipples and his nipple rings, we'll go to Numbers 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, and what which I am giving to the children of Israel, from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see where the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied on the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Enamon, Shishai, and Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshkol, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out of the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, you, the people who dwell in the land, are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, in case y'all didn't know that. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, only if we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, and by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the people to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and out in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have despised.
Amen.
I'm going to move on down to Psalms. Leave you with a word of worship. Give unto the Lord, you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 29, 1 and 2. And as usual, I'd like to leave you with a little something to think about. This one's going to be Proverbs 10:23. And one more time, I think it fits in this evening. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom.
Amen.
And thank you for letting me in tonight. Like I said, I simply come in to read the word to you the way it was written, the way it was meant to be shared. Anything else? Well, I have little to do with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, well, you read that with such passion again. Amen. All right. I hope you all enjoyed tonight's Bible reading. Okay. All right. Let's go into some music. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
goes out to people who need it, and you know who you are. The Father said today, I will be known in your life as the one who saves the best for last. Yes, for so will your later years will be greater than your former, and your later days will be more blessed than your beginning. And you shall cry out from the later rain of my spirit, and I shall raise you up, and you shall live in my sight, and you will know me, and as the morning light, I will come to you as the rain, as the later rain and the former rain upon the earth. And I have saved the best for last, so cry out for the later rain. It is the third day, says the Father, even the third day of Hosea, and the third day of the wedding in Cana. I turn the water into wine, and it is the best in the house for surpassing all the vintages coming previously. For the vintage of the previous rain has been off a certain excellence, and coming vintage is of a surpassing excellence unlike any of you known. The master of the wedding feast in Cana brought approval to the bridegroom for the best wine that was saved for the last. And my people will bring approval and congratulate the bridegroom, and there will be much celebration and rejoicing, for the later rain has come upon the earth. The great outpouring of my spirit upon all flesh, bringing revival in the land. The vats of the new wine of this excellent vintage will flow and fill the vessels, and new wineskins to overflowing, says the Lord. Amen. Well, this brings us to the end of our program, okay? And I'm going to bring Tony F. on to give us the closing prayer.
Bless you all. Thank you for coming tonight. May you sleep well, know you're loved, know you're needed, and know that at God Rainbow's Ministry, it's not your sexuality, it's your relationship with God.
Amen. 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 So, tomorrow is Sunday. And tomorrow we have our program at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. It is God's Rainbow Christian and Messianic Tabernacle Church. I hope to see you all there, okay, for a blessing, okay, from the sermon I will be giving. So God bless you. May you all have a blessed night. Thank you all for showing up, okay, everyone that called in. Everyone is listening on the chat room, and everyone is listening on the link. May God bless you and keep you and protect you. Amen. Bye-bye.